Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning and welcome to Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care's Elder Care Radio Program, Southern Utah's first and only program dedicated to bringing education and understanding about medical care and senior care for our community.
Yes, let's expand on that and explain further what exactly that means to our listeners. We are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are your one-stop resource for all of your questions, resources, and just help. If you need help, give us a call. There is never any obligation. We just really want to help our seniors in this community navigate the difficult path of the healthcare system and find help for your loved ones or you as you attempt to deal with difficult circumstances, especially during this time of COVID.
Right. And we want to make sure that everybody understands that we really want to help people help everybody else. You know, we're helping, you are helping family members, you know, deal with this situation. And if we can support you, we really want to do that.
Right. So that you know, we are fully licensed and accredited. We are certified by Medicare and Medicaid. In addition, we went a step above. We are accredited by ACHC, which is the Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. That means that we stepped up and proved that we were willing to offer more to the seniors in this community. We go well above the minimum standard requirements that Medicare has implemented. And we offer our seniors much more help than what would be typically offered.
And we're always looking for more services and options that are available because we realize that it's most important that people have choice, that they understand all of the options that are available to them, that they can choose for themselves what will be most effective because we all respond differently.
That's right. So let me mention our telephone number for those of you who are looking for that. We often get calls through the station after this saying, you didn't say your number enough. So it's Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care at 435-477-6999. Again, 435-477-6999. Now let's get to some COVID good news and really reduce some of those stresses we have out there.
Okay, so for COVID good news, I hope that we've been able to overcome some of the fears that the media has put out there by bringing a little rational vision here. And as we go through this today, I want you to realize that things aren't as bad as we always thought that we were led to believe.
Well, let's remind them that all of our resources are taken from they're facts, not opinions. It is not just us stating our opinion. We take this information right off of the State of Utah Health Department, the CDC, or the World Health Organization.
Right. And also the Southwest Utah has their own health department website. And those are all available to you, and we recommend that you continue to research that. But let's start with some assessment of the facts. So in Utah, according to the Utah Department of Health website, there have been over 1 million COVID tests done in this state. And we have less than 3,800 hospitalizations that have happened. In the entire time that COVID has been with us, we've had 1 million tests and only 3,800 hospitalizations. Those are some pretty good numbers. So let's apply some other math to this. We have over 3 million people in the state of Utah. And there have only been 72,000 positive tests, which turns out to be a 2.25% positive rate for testing. And that translates to a 97.75% negative rate. 97.75% of the people in Utah have never, according to the test, never been infected with it. So there's a
or
huge...
Or at least never tested positive. A lot of people are asymptomatic, so they never even test.
But out of our whole population, there's a very small segment that has actually had to deal with this. So once we get that 3,200,000 people down to 2.25% of that, and of the 2.25% that tested positive, we have a 99.7% recovery rate.
That means that even the elderly and the immune compromised and those who are sick are still recovering by and large. That's important to remember. If we would start hearing in the media the recovery rates as opposed to the death rates, I think the sting of the scare of COVID would be cause a little less anxiety. So I'm a little disappointed that we're not focusing a little more on the recovery rate so that we can all feel good about where we are in our lives and take some of the anxiety out of the day-to-day experiences.
So there are some other things here. The state tracks a seven-day rolling average. These are the number of people that are subject to being infected at the time. And we're looking at high in the 1,400 range. That's the highest that our state has had at any one time. 1,400 people are infected, right? Those are positive tests. Out of the 3.2 million people in the population, the likelihood you could run into one of those people is pretty slim. So those are some things to keep in mind. Also, although we've had a spike and the media has really, you know, been driving the spike home, we've had a spike in positive tests. We have not had a significant spike in hospitalizations or deaths.
Once again, you don't hear the media really talking about the asymptomatic. And what is asymptomatic? It means that you got a positive test, but you would have never known it. You have no signs, no symptoms, no coughs, no feeling sick, or what would normally trigger you to stay home from work. Now, we understand that because of that, you may take for granted that, you know, you're not going to pass on the illness. But the reality is if we're asymptomatic, such a high percentage of people that are testing positive are asymptomatic, then that also means that the disease itself is easier to recover from than what the anxiety that we're feeling for it. We're in more fear of it than we should be.
So those are the statistics. We think we've accomplished our goal with the COVID good news, that we've eliminated some of the stress and anxiety that's come around it. But let's just drop that back down and talk about our own community here, the Southwest Utah. In Washington County this week, there are only 12 new cases as of yesterday. So those numbers are not spiking at all. If you were to chart, there are a couple of counties that have gone up. Southwest Utah is not one of those. Southwest, all five counties. There has been some change where Kane and Garfield County, you guys have been COVID-free for a number of weeks as we've been tracking this. You actually have four cases in Kane County and one case in Garfield. So if you know that person in those counties, we'd recommend that you send them a get well card. But for every one person that might be infected with COVID, there are tens of people or even hundreds of people that are struggling every day with other life-limiting conditions. And that's really what this this broadcast is about, is helping people deal with those life-limiting conditions in a way that makes it a more positive experience. And so we want to talk about that.
Okay, so Andy, we've been here for a while now, coming, you know, every week for a few months.
We're old friends now, aren't we?
We're good old friends. So let me ask you, do you think we've taken the sting out of the, you know, the scare out of the word hospice? Do you think we're really helping the community understand that hospice is really a benefit that we should be looking forward to taking at the time that it's appropriate?
You know, I think I've learned a lot from you guys. I've learned that one of the big things I think that has helped take the sting out of things is to know that hospice, it's not like, okay, you're going to die, here's hospice. No, that's not how it works anymore, and you guys have really enlightened me on that. Also, by the way, I can't get your phone number out of my head because of the way Richard explained it. It's on the left side, 477, and then the right side, 6999. It's going to be there forever, Richard. You did a good job on that.
Well, thank you.
I think it's important that you said that it's not really for, you know, the last couple of days. When you hear the word hospice, you shouldn't be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm dying like really soon. Right. As a matter of fact, that kind of has been traditionally when it's offered, when it's taken advantage of. And that's really too bad, because the sooner we can take advantage of it, the quicker our stresses are relieved. It's when hospice comes in, we bring caregivers and help coming into your home so that you're not struggling to bathe your loved one, to make sure you're managing all the daily ADLs and take care of yourself and your loved one.
Activities of daily life. I learned that too.
See, you are good.
And POC.
That's right.
I learned a lot of things. One other thing I wanted to throw in there before you get going is I was talking with a family friend. This was maybe 2 weeks ago. And I said, well, you know, he might be eligible for hospice. And they said, oh, we can't afford that.
That's right. It's completely free.
They had no idea. I think a lot of people have no idea that hospice is actually free.
I couldn't agree more. And when you hear free, then you think, oh, I'm really limited in what I get.
Right.
But the truth is, if you compare, if you're on home health, you get per service based on the doctor's plan of care for you. But once you move into hospice, you get a plethora of services that are available to you at no cost and no restriction as far as, well, meet this benchmark or you're going to lose physical therapy, or meet this benchmark or you're not going to need nursing services as often or help with bathing. So the truth is, once we qualify for hospice, you really should take advantage of it as soon as you can, because you get so many benefits for a longer period of time.
That depends, of course, on the hospice company you choose. If you choose a company that wants to work with you to develop a plan of care that is right for you, then the telephone number is
435-477-6999. I'll never forget.
And if you want somebody else to decide exactly what your plan of care is and you have no input, then you can find a lot of hospice companies on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who can refer you to hospice?
That's a great question. So who can refer to hospice? Do you need a doctor's referral? No. You can refer yourself. A family member can refer you, a friend, a neighbor. Anybody can refer you to hospice, because all it is an introduction. It's just saying, hey, why don't you consider this and make a phone call? Or I'll make a phone call for you, and we'll be more than happy to call somebody to do that. And Andy, you've brought up a great point that we hope that for our listeners, they've all gotten more information about this. But we do know that there's probably about 20% of this community that doesn't listen to this radio program, that doesn't know this yet.
It's less than that.
And so it's important that we, not just us, but you as listeners on this program, help other people find out about what this choice is. Because we don't want people to think, oh, I can't afford hospice, since it's free. If we can just overcome that myth in the community, then we've accomplished some great things.
It is one of the benefits that Medicare really tried to do right. They said at the point that you're elderly and you're dealing with a chronic, non-curable condition, jump onto to hospice and allow the caregivers to come to you. And they really required us to do a lot for the patients. So it's a benefit that we start paying for from the first day you start work. You may as well take advantage of the free, which never happens, as soon as you can, right? Take all those benefits.
Well, they actually had me, when they asked me that question, they actually had me doubting myself. They're like, oh, no, it's not free. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm pretty sure, because Richard and Kaylee told me it was.
It is.
Pretty sure it is free.
It is.
And they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, I'm pretty sure. And so I'm glad I got to ask the question again. But yeah, right. It's
hospice. Yeah, absolutely free if you qualify. So the question is, when do you qualify? And the best way to do that is to constantly be looking. If you are suffering from a life-limiting illness, whether that's damage to the brain, damage to the body that is not going to be repaired, those types of things, once we get to the point where we know that it's not really going to be fixed, then you should start finding out if the potential of hospice is available. If it's AIDS or cancer or cerebral or vascular accidents, whether it's a stroke or something like that, congestive heart failure, cardiopulmonary problems, COPD, problems with the lungs, dementia, problems with the liver, renal disease, kidneys, any of those systems that are critical for our body to work. If we have limitations on those, then we may be eligible for a better level of care than we can get anywhere else.
And knowledge really is power. So find out first. Know well in advance what opportunities or what benefits are available to you so that you can best determine for yourself when those benefits are going to be available to you. Because the truth is, they probably won't be offered as quickly as you are eligible for them. You have to ask. You have to take care of yourself, right? Watch out for number one. You or your loved one, your kids can call about it. You can call about your grandma, your mom, your brother, your sister, your spouse. But you should know what's out there, what's available, and what's covered. If you're on home health, you're paying for all of your own supplies. You're paying co-pays and part of your prescriptions, and you're paying for so much. But once you are eligible, all that goes on the is a requirement for the hospice company to pay. So keep in mind, you might be benefiting from home health right now, but if you ask the right questions, you may actually benefit from hospice longer. And why should we be on hospice longer rather than shorter, other than the money?
Well, so there are so many things that can be accomplished if we have time. And those are important, and I want to cover that, but I want to go back on just one point. The idea of asking questions is good health care for yourself anyway. Ask more about what can be available from your doctor. Don't just take the first thing that he says or she says, well, we can do this. Okay, we can do that. What are my other options? If you ask those questions and you give the doctor an opportunity to say, well, normally this is our protocol, but we've seen this be effective, you can certainly have a better option of choice. So we think that as being your own best medical advocate, always ask those questions. The truth is, if you referred yourself or somebody else to hospice and you called us and we assessed you and said, you're not hospice eligible, that should be a good thing.
Well, but then you also have a gauge of, okay, right. So when I progress to this level, then maybe I'll be able to benefit from it then. We had a patient's daughter called a couple of weeks ago asking for her mother to be evaluated. And when we went through her medical profile, we could see that she really was borderline. Still consulting with her primary care physician. Remember, you don't give up your doctor. Your doctor can participate with our doctors. Another surgery, a full hip replacement was offered, and she's 89 years old. Now, one family might decide we're going to go through the hip replacement, even though the recovery rate is very, very difficult. And another family might say, we don't want to go through that. We want her to be comfortable. So it really was a choice of the family. Do we choose hospice now and forego this complete and total reconstructive surgery that the doctor only gives us about 4 to 6 months of benefit from because her bones are deteriorating, or do we just opt for the quality of life today? And remember, that can be a long quality of life.
Right, and we're talking about being able to focus on things that make us happy instead of spending the next months just in misery and pain dealing with the surgery and the recovery from it.
But it is an individual choice.
It is.
And a family thing.
And we support all those choices. But the better informed you are, the better choice you can always make. So Kaylee asked, what are the advantages of being on hospice longer? Well, if we're just looking at getting that opportunity to really assess our life circumstances, to take a look at, since nothing's going to change with my medical issues, do I really want to spend all of my time, effort, and energy focused on that and give up all of the other opportunities there are in life to have better experiences, to engage with people, and to be more involved with family?
Well, and consider that if it's going to mean that the caregiver's 100% attention is going to be on every need for the patient, they're not spending the quality time loving each other, creating memories, and just enjoying each other's company. We can come in and do the heavy work, the housekeeping, the making sure meals are planned for, having CNAs come in with helping with bathing. And you really do just get to plan special memories and special occasions with your loved one.
Yes, you bring in a workforce to take care of some of the mundane tasks and the things that are less pleasant, so that you can now focus on the things that are more important as a caregiver. And those are great opportunities. We've had some, when we got involved with hospice, we did it because we had a purpose that we didn't want other people to have the negative experiences that we had. We didn't really look at the positive side of it. We just looked at, we don't want the negative for everybody. But as we've been involved, we've had some incredible positive experiences that that have come about. And those were things we didn't expect. But when we have time for us to get to know people and to find out what is their big concerns, and when you see that those concerns are resolved, and those concerns can be as simple as my house isn't clean, or as complex as I have some real questions about what happens after I die, or how do I, you know, deal with all of the financial issues at the end of life, or and all of those overly stressful things. If we can bring in people that have no agenda other than to help you resolve those, they don't have a, you know, there's no monetary benefit. We're not going to try and sell you a living trust so that you can, yeah, you know, those aren't the goals.
But time is so important. We need time to digest what we're dealing with, what we're facing, to time for our loved ones to go through the grieving process while we're still here. It can help them deal with a passing in the future. I want to say that because it's not, we're hoping you choose hospice well in advance of, you know, the end, so that you have plenty of time to go through all these processes, emotional processes.
And the more time we have on hospice, according to the statistics, the more time you will have, because hospice adds time to your life, and a good palliative program adds more time.
Right. Statistically, hospice adds 31 days on average to your life, and a good palliative program can add on 63 days of your life.
That's right. And when you look at the fact that 63% of people don't get any hospice options, and those that do, of half of those only get, you know, 13 days, and we can still show those big statistics of improvement, it makes sense that if more people were on hospice sooner, the benefits would be bigger for everybody.
Right. And how does palliative add days to your life? Relieving anxiety. When we have less anxiety, we can enjoy life. As we're enjoying life, we feel better. When we feel better, we last longer.
Yeah, when we have reasons to live, we want to live. And those are great things. So for us, it's been a great experience to have those. And we're running out of time, so we're not going to go into some of those stories. We'll probably do that next week, so listen in on some of the great stories that we've had about these life-limiting circumstances. And some of those are successes where people have graduated off hospice are, you know, back just seeing their doctor because we've overcome some problems for them. So those are the great things. Again, we're Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We really want this community, all of this community, those that are listening on the radio and those that are not, to know more about what their hospice options are. So if you have an opportunity to talk to somebody about it, it may seem like an uncomfortable conversation, but you may be surprised at how much they appreciate the information. So you guys are all well-informed. Please share that information with others, and the community will be better served by that.
We actually had a patient just a short time ago that once the doctor referred them to us and they went on to hospice, we came in and immediately started helping her with bathing and those daily necessities. She was actually angry at her doctor that she didn't know about us sooner. She literally called him and said, "Why didn't you tell me about this 6 months ago? It would have made my life so much easier, and I could have enjoyed the last days of my husband's life instead of, you know, saying goodbye so quickly." So it really doesn't have to be a scary thing, and you should know in advance. Know what your options are, what's available to you, way in advance. Take advantage of every benefit that might be out there for you.
They're going to cut us off right now, so give us a call to finish this conversation, 435-477-6999. Thank you very much.
See you next week, or hear you next week.